The New Testament teaches us what the Lord Jesus actually said. Hello, I'm Phil Sanders, and this is a Bible study in search of the Lord's way. Now, some people today believe things Jesus didn't say. Let's examine these things.
In all the hurry and hustle and confusion of modern living, the Lord has the way. We believe that the Bible is the revelation of His way. We invite you to join us in search of the Lord's way with Phil Sanders.
Welcome to In Search of the Lord's Way. We're here to search the Scriptures for God's will. We can know the will of God. The Lord Jesus said in John 8:31-32 that if you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus didn't deceive us when He said we could abide in His Word, that we can be true disciples, that we can know the truth, and that we can be set free by the truth. So we must evaluate what we hear and compare it to the truth revealed in Scripture. We'd love to hear from you. We want to be a part of your life each week. Many who call themselves Christians often draw their beliefs not from Christ or the apostles, but from popular beliefs, human traditions, our culture, or just from their own hearts. Many hold what they think Jesus should have said rather than, quote, what He actually did say. Others simply put words into the mouth of the Lord Jesus. And rather than listen to Him, they want to speak for Him. They presume what they think must be the truth. The Lord Jesus said in John 18:37, "For this I have been born, and for this I've come into the world, to testify to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears My voice." The Father spoke clearly in Matthew 17:5 about Jesus. He said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." Now, Peter lived when Moses was the great lawgiver and Elijah was the great prophet. They were having a discussion with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter wanted to honor Moses and Elijah, but the Father stopped him. Jesus is His beloved Son, and the Father is pleased with Him, so we need to listen to Him. We must listen to the Lord Jesus. There is no one else like Him. Now, we offer this study, Things Jesus Did Not Say, free. If you would like a printed copy and you live in the United States, mail your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083, or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org. Or you can call our toll-free telephone number. That number is 1-800-321-8633. We also have programs and free materials on our website, searchtv.org. You can also see us on YouTube. Larry Owsley will lead us in song. We'll read from John 18:33-37 and examine things the Lord Jesus never said.
Thank you.
Our reading today comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 18, verses 33 to 37, and there Jesus discusses the truth. Therefore Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." That's an important discussion in God's holy word. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful that we can know the truth and that we can love the truth. Help us always, Heavenly Father, to listen to the voice of Jesus so that we might not be fooled by the thinking of men. Help us, Heavenly Father, in every way to stay faithful and loving toward you. In Jesus' name, amen. There are many common sayings people assume are true, but they contradict the teaching that comes from our Lord Jesus. Let's take time to examine some of these. First, people often tell us, follow your heart, trust your feelings. But what we think or feel and what is true may be two different things. Jeremiah 17, 9 to 10 says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Then he says, "I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds." God is the final judge of what is true and what is merely imagined or felt. Genesis 6, 5 to 6 says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and that He was grieved in His heart." People thought the best way of life was to do evil. Evil may bring pleasure temporarily, but it destroys us in the end. And people who want to feel good about their evil will think or say almost anything to justify their words and behavior. I hear people say about sinful behavior, "Well, God wants me to be happy. As long as I'm happy, then I'm pleasing God." Well, those who preach a health and wealth gospel and ignore the rest of the Scripture are leading people astray. They imagine salvation is measured by health and wealth. They need to read Luke 16, 19 to 31, where a disobedient rich man was lost, while a poor and sick man was saved. People will often say things to justify doing whatever makes them happy, even sinful things. The joy of Jesus is a righteous joy in knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you have the hope of eternal life. Those who think sinful lifestyles that make them happy are God's desire have deceived themselves. Galatians 5:19-21 says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which Paul says, I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, the heart can lead us into sin. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 15:19, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders." Psalm 53 and verse 1 informs us, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Proverbs 28:26 says that he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. The Lord Jesus doesn't want us to have a heart that leads us to rebel against Him. He wants us to have a pure heart that desires righteousness. Matthew 5 and verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Then verse 8 continues, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Let's remember Ecclesiastes 11:9-10. "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet, know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting." Second, many are told these days, "Believe in yourself." Well, self-confidence in some areas of life is valuable. But one can believe so strongly in oneself that they ignore everyone else, even the Lord. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1 that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Rather than trust in ourselves, we are better served to trust the Lord. Proverbs 3:5-8 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, and it'll be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." We should always believe what the Scriptures say. The Scriptures are from God. John 20:30-31 says, "Therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." Now, faith in Christ and faith in His Word is what leads us to salvation and eternal life. Many today have a blended belief system. They have beliefs drawn from many sources. They believe what they think is true, based on culture and on their experiences. They often set aside the Bible and then manufacture their own beliefs about God and about morals. So when people say, "Do what you believe is true," think seriously. Do you believe that God means what He says? Fourth, I hear, "Oh, God is too loving to condemn anyone." The love of God doesn't rule out His righteousness, His holiness, or His justice. The Lord Jesus said in John 8:24, "I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He," that is the Messiah, the Son of God, "you will die in your sins." Exodus 34:6-7 says that the Lord keeps steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. Romans 6:23 still says that the wages of sin is death. Now, those who will not believe, repent, or obey have no promise from God of eternal salvation. The Lord's patience with us does have an end. You remember 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says that the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now the Lord promised in John 5, 28 to 29, do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear His voice and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Yes, judgment. Fifth, some say God individually predestined each of us to be saved or lost, and we have no choice as to where we will spend eternity. But God allows us to choose whether we'll serve Him. Romans 6, 16 to 18 says, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, that you're slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Now, the concept of individual predestination rules out the idea of free will, but the Scriptures allows us to choose whom we serve. We can choose to believe or disbelieve. We can choose to repent or not repent, and we can choose to obey or disobey God's Word, and that's clear on the matter from Scripture. God's Word can answer every false idea. That is why we need to read and study what the Word of God says. Sixth, people say, once you're saved, you're always saved. They hold that people who were saved at one point can never lose their salvation. Well, Hebrews 3, 12 to 13 warns brothers and sisters in Christ who have been saved, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Believers can stop believing. They can harden their hearts against God and embrace sin. They can abandon God. Hebrews 10 and verse 26 says to Christians, for if we, that is we Christians, go on sinning deliberately, willingly, knowingly, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Now, this should settle the issue. If your religious group teaches once saved, always saved, they're misleading you and giving you a false promise of salvation. Peter makes it clear in 2 Peter 2, 20 to 21, For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. Seventh, some say that Jesus is just one of many religious teachers and they all teach the same thing. Well, those who say such things haven't studied world religions. There's a wide difference between various world religions, and each religion thinks that we should follow only them. Well, we follow Jesus because He is indeed unique. He is the only one that's sinless, Hebrews 4:15. He was the one who worked true miracles before large crowds. He was the one who rose from the dead according to the prophecies of the Old Testament, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 3 to 5 and Psalm 16, 10. Eyewitnesses saw Him after the resurrection, and He is the prophesied Son of God, Matthew 16, 18. My friend, His tomb is empty while the others are filled. We must believe in Jesus and in His teaching. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Me. He alone died for our sins, and Jesus alone can promise eternal salvation with the Father. It does matter what we believe. There are many false religions, but only one true religion. John 1:14 says about Jesus, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace," yes, grace, "and truth." If you want to be a person of the truth, then you must listen to the voice of Jesus. But do more than listen. Follow and obey the Lord. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And just as Jesus bore a cross, so we must bear one too. Now, our cross may not be wooden, we may not be crucified, but it does mean that we die to ourselves and we live for Him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, "I die daily." And he explains in Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Paul knew that dying to self and living for the Lord would bring great joy and blessing and eternal life. And so Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I will say rejoice. Yes, we have many reasons to rejoice in our loving Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that You teach us the truth and that we can determine what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad, what is righteous and what is wicked. Help us, Heavenly Father, to love You and to serve You all our days. In Jesus' name, amen. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 6, "My son, if you'll receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding." Neither Jesus nor the apostles ever taught the lost, "Pray this prayer with me and you'll be saved." But in the first gospel sermon, Peter said in Acts 2:38, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself." Now, Peter spoke as the Spirit gave him utterance. What he said is still just as true as the day he said it. Let's follow what is in the Bible rather than listen to preachers who may lead you to believe something Jesus never said. Acts 22:16 tells us how we call upon the name of the Lord. There it says, "Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name. Baptism is how we call on the name of the Lord, and 1 Peter 3:21 helps us to understand that. Baptism, it says there, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to Him. My friend, obey the Lord today. We hope that our study, Things Jesus Did Not Say, has caused you to look to God's Word for answers. If you live in the United States and want a free printed copy, send your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083, or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org. Or you can call the Search Office toll-free at 1-800-321-8633. There's a schedule of our programs and a map of churches in your area at searchtv.org. Now, Search is on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel, Search TV Ministry, and then like the programs. We also offer free Bible correspondence courses. Now, don't worry, we're not asking for money. We're here to help you draw close to God. Now, show God your love by worshiping at church. You need a church family. And if you can attend, don't neglect worshiping at church. There's probably a Church of Christ near you. And if you're looking for a healthy, biblical church home, we will gladly help you to find one. Well, we'll be back next week, Lord willing. So keep searching God's Word with us and tell a friend about this program. As always, we say to you, God bless you, and we love you from all of us. And In Search of the Lord's Way.